of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We had talked about God's love for us. Then we talked about our love to God. Then today, God's willing, هنسمع من دكتور عصمت شاروبيم. ربنا يعوضه على محبته ومجيه وعم عمروش متأخر عننا. هنسمع wonderful lecture about our love to me. Okay? Pay attention and apply. Okay? تفضل.
Salam, how are you all? How was the test? I have to do this test, by the way. This is much easier than this one. Anyway, well, God willing, Yanni, we're going to talk today about love your neighbor, which is one thing that I think we spoke once before about love your enemy, which is more upscale, love your neighbor. This should be an easy one, to love our neighbors, right? Can you go next one? Let's go back in history and see what happens to the word love from the very beginning. As you may recall, the great story of the fall of man happened because Adam and Eve basically did not obey God. However, there's a big missing point here that we may not really focus on. If you remember when God came to Adam and asked him, why did you do this? Why did you eat from the tree that I told you not to? What was his answer? Anybody remember?
The woman he gave him.
So what he did, what he exactly did here? He threw his wife under the bus, right? He just finished. He said, okay, you know what? He sold her cheap here. So that's the first violation that man decided just to forget the word love their neighbor. That will take us to the word, who's our neighbor? We're going to go through a lot of stories now and see who's my neighbor. Do you think Eve was Adam's neighbor based on this? No? Yes?
Yes.
Who's our neighbor?
Everyone.
Exactly. Everyone is my neighbor. My child, my cousin, my friend, my teacher, my professor, my boss, my subordinate, anybody is my neighbor. So, Adam in this story, basically, he violated this. He just, the minute God told him, why did you do this? She did it. Where is love? How come he didn't cover up for his own wife? He did not. So that was the first violation in the history of mankind, that even without God saying love your neighbor, man decided to not love their neighbor by action. And remember, the word action is very important. You just heard in the Bible now, said those people just worship me or pray to me by mouth only, right? They're not really using their heart. It's basically only a theoretical love, not an applied love. The whole idea is to apply your love. I can't tell you I love you without doing anything for you. I have to. It's better to do something for you than just say it. Okay? Next, please. Cain and Abel. Second story in mankind. Why did Cain kill Abel? Why did you do that? Yeah. He was jealous and basically didn't love him. He just destroyed the other thing. So from the very beginning of the creation, man did something wrong about that love. Then he come and blame God and say, you never told us to love each other. But God's going to tell us something else different. He said, that's true, I didn't tell love you. But he didn't tell Adam and Eve love each other, right? Did we hear that in the Genesis? He didn't say that. Love your wife or whatever. No, no, he didn't say that. Well, we'll find out what happens. Next. So, I like this picture. It said, God loves you this much. How did he express his love to Adam? Anybody can give me an idea? From the beginning.
He forgave him.
Okay, he forgave him. But before that, before Adam fell, what did he do for him?
He clothed him. He set all the animals under
his control. Exactly. He set everything under his control. That's a sign of love. I'm giving all authority. What else?
He gave him a companion.
Take me back a little bit. Go ahead.
Made in his image and likeness.
Exactly. And he made me on his image. How serious love is that? It's very serious. God made me look like him according to his image. This is big. That's love. That's love of action. So God now is saying, I love you, but without saying the word on it. It's unpronounced. He's just saying, I love you. How? By doing this. So that's the whole idea about loving each other. Not to tell me you love me or other, not to tell I love you. But it's just do things to show you how much I care, how much I love. Somebody else had other ideas?
Yeah, I was going to say when he was expelled from paradise, he clothed him. Like he didn't just let him go, he actually cared for him.
Exactly. And the last thing also this, and when he fell, what did God do when they were naked? He made cloth from them, and he just covered them. He would have said, you know what, stay this way, you're just like, you're a sinner. But he just covered them, even when they were sinning. So he expressed his love to mankind by action. Important. Love by action is just by words. It's not by words. Next, please. There is a very nice verse in Matthew 5:41, which says, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You know this verse? It's very important. Well, it's chapter 5. And you know, chapter 5, 6, 7 is in Matthew is basically the Sermon on the Mount, which is actually the Christian law. That's the law. When Jesus spoke, these three chapters in that book, it's about the Christian law. He's told us everything almost too. One of them is this, and we almost ignore it. It's just like, okay, go with him too. What does this mean? In the old days, this picture actually tells you what's going on. In the old days, and Roman people, when they were Israel, what they did, they forced, or they had the right as Roman soldiers, to ask any Jewish person to carry their stuff for at least 1 mile. They can just say that as a slave, carry, but they can't go beyond that 1 mile. They would tell them, okay, this is the law. This is the law, remember. It is the law. You must do this. And God is saying, okay, if somebody forces you, remember, compel, remember that, compels you, that means it forces you unwillingly, you don't like it, but you have to do because it is the law. Now, why do we fast? Why do we fast? Because the church told us so. Because if I don't, Abuna's going to embarrass me and say, why are you not fasting? I'm not going to give you communion. Right? Why do we fast? Is it because we have to fast? Is it the first mile? Or I want to fast? Is the second mile? So the first mile is usually about what we must do based on the law. This is the law. I mean, we have to do it. For whatever reason, but I have to do it. Whether I like it or not, I have to do it. The second mile is I want to do it. And that's the whole difference between the word first and second. When it comes to love our neighbor, that's exactly what we're going to discuss. Is it I have to love you because I have to show off that I'm a good guy, I'm a merciful guy, or I want to love you? I want to be a giver. I want to be a caring person. So this is the whole, actually, some people call Christianity the religion of the second mile, which is true. And remember, the Bible didn't talk about the third mile, by the way. It's the first mile, which is forced. The second mile is unlimited. It's an open-ended. There's no third mile. Because that second mile, if you go through it willingly, who's going to be with you? Are you going to be alone? Who's going to be with you in that second mile? God, exactly, God. Jesus Christ will be with you. What happened in the New York Marathon? People run towards the end. One guy just go to the finish line, right? And this guy is all alone, right? But he has with him whoever supports his ideas and did that. Same thing, the second mile is a never-ending mile. That's why we don't have a third mile. That takes us to the same thing. Loving each other should be an endless mile. It should be forever. It can't be just to achieve something. That's why it's I want to. It's not I have to. I have to pray. Why? Because God said if you don't pray, I will not go to heaven. But do you want to pray? Do you long? Do you want to just want to be alone and say, I want 15 minutes. I want to pray. I want to pray. Do we have this feeling in us? And that's the want to. This is the second mile. Do I want to fast? Or because we all have to fast, and if I ask you, said, yes, I'm fasting. How long? I've been from the beginning. Oh, I added one more week. Oh, my God. And I'm doing this. I'm doing I fast or abstain from food until 5 p.m., 6 p.m. It's like, is it about fasting or showing off? Or what is it? Why do you have to fast? Let me ask you a question. After the fast is over and then Easter comes and everything, we eat very well. We're happy eating. Do any one of us miss Lent? Anybody regret that Lent is past? Of course not, right? Because the meat tastes very well, very good, right? So this is the thing. If you feel at one point that you missed Lent or fast, so you know now you want to fast. It's not you have to fast. So far, most of us, they just have to fast. Because we're servants, we have to teach, and we have to say this. But is it, I want to do it? That's the I want topic part. Do I wish to do it? Yeah, you wish to go to heaven. But you can't just wish. You have to want. When you want, then you do some effort on it. Okay? Exactly when you go for a test. You want to pass? You have to study for it. I wish I passed. Okay, I wish I passed. A very negative and passive. Okay, I'm sitting. I wish I passed. Okay, can you study? No, I just wish. Keep pushing. So the secret behind our Christianity is love is the spirit of the church. This is the Holy Spirit, okay? And the service is the church's law. Service, the servants, future servant. This is our law, service. Not our law that you must fast, you must know. We have to serve each other. This takes priority in everything. And peace is God's gift. Without that, we can't do anything else. Next. So, actually I just copied portions of the Bible, but highlighted very important verses or statements in red. So, in here, in Leviticus in the old days, God said, do not really avenge or actually hurt others or your children or other people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor. Okay. So that's in the Old Testament. He started, but in Leviticus, remember, it's not Genesis. That we said, he didn't say that to Adam, but he acted. He showed Adam love. Now he's saying, from the very old days, love your neighbor. And now the Pharisees came to God, and he's trying to test him. He said, okay, listen, what should they do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Test. So basically, he wants God to do things, or Jesus to do things to say, to blame him, say, he's not really a real Jewish guy. He violates all the law and he does this. So God told him the holy story, love your God from your heart. And the second great commandment is, love your neighbor. Look what's in red here. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay, let's ask a question now. I love God from all my heart. That's it. I stop here. I have nothing to do with you. I just love God. How God do you think is going to look at this? Oh, you might, my child, come, I'll take you because you love me so much? He's going to tell you, wait, I told you this. But how do I do this? He said, remember, I said, who loves me does or obeys my commandments, right? So if you don't, so don't tell me you love me. It doesn't work this way. So he's telling you here, on these, that's Jesus' words, on these two commandments, love God and love your neighbor, that's the total completion of the law. You can't take one or the other, it has to be two. Hang all the law and the prophets. So everything is based on this. Next. Remember the story of the Caiaphas? What happened? God was going to Palm Sunday, not Palm Sunday, he was visiting, and the Caiaphas was up in the tree because he was a short guy. He couldn't see. So God saw him and said, come down. What does this tell me? That do I have to wait for you to approach me to show you my care? Or deliberately come to you and say, do you need help? Do you need anything from me? Do we do this or not? Or we'll pass each other. Actually, I had a very nice YouTube here, a couple that I didn't do it, about loving people. Loving people is basically helping people. Just help. We do that a lot, actually, right? Somebody's falling and you just try to hold them. Even if you don't know him, somebody in the bathroom or the supermarket pushing something, can push the cart and just help them. We do this automatically, right? That's part of loving our neighbor. God, through his service, Jesus Christ, through all his services, was about loving others and loving neighbors. Himself did that with all what he's done, all the miracles he did. It was about showing care and love without people asking him. The guys didn't ask him, right? The guy was minding his business with the tree, watching the parade, watching Jesus, having fun there. But Jesus saw his heart, said, come down, because he saw his eagerness. And he said, come down, I'm reaching out to you. Do we reach out to each other? That's loving others, okay? It's not staying very passive on the other end and say, I haven't done anything. Why are you asking me not to, why are you telling me I don't love people? Because you're not approaching people to love them. You're just engulfing yourself in an area and a place that basically you cover it. So you say, this doesn't apply to me because there's nobody around me. Get out. Seek people who need help. That's what Jesus did the whole time. He was looking for people to help them. Next. Okay. Again, Jesus said, the first, verse 29 here, the first of all commandments, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the God your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and so on. But listen to this verse here. Now when Jesus saw that he answered quickly, because the guy said, I have done all of these things, no problem. He said, he answered right, and he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Wow. That's what loving your neighbor is going to take you? How close it takes us? Important. You are not far. So, you can fast, you can pray, you can do Matanias 400 a day in vain, unless if you have this love in you to love people, because it says you are not far from the kingdom if you love your neighbor. You're not far. You see how precious this thing is? Just to care and love people, it takes you very close to the kingdom. Like a lot of people, I'll tell you a story. Actually, a statement from one of the saints. He said that you can pray and you can fast. That will not take you anywhere. But if you love your neighbors, it will take you to the kingdom of heaven. How come? With all what we're saying, with all these things about fasting and prayer, that doesn't work? No, it doesn't work. Why? Because fasting and prayer is one of the virtues we do. But love is one of the top two commandments. Okay? So basically, fasting and prayer is one of the many, many, many homeworks or things you have to do or efforts to inherit the kingdom. But love is the mother of all of the virtues. Everything stems down from the love. So he said, if you love people, that will do a lot for you. Because you can't have that much love to people unless if you do the other things anyway. Because this is the mother of all. A story was, I heard it from Pope Tawadros a couple of weeks ago in one of the sermons. It's called the needle story. The needle story. So they were saying one of the monks in the monastery was like on his last days. But he wasn't really serving much. He was just like minding his business, sitting in his cell, praying, doing things. So when he was just like in his last days, he got all the monks or his brothers around him. And he says, go to my cell, give me the key to the kingdom. I say, okay, I'm sure he's talking about the Bible. So they went to the cell, ran with the Bible here. No, that's not the one. Okay. Maybe he needs his cross. So they went to his cell, came back with the cross. No, it's not. So I said, what is it? He said, go there, you're going to find a needle and a sewing kit, give it to me. So they came with that needle. This is it. And he said, let me tell you a story. Over all these many years I've been with you, all of you was torn apart, clothes or anything. I used to take it from you, behind you, without knowing, and sew it for you, and put it back to where it belongs, in your area. In this, God has told me, this is your key to the kingdom, because I was serving all of you. That was his last breath words. So he's telling this is the key to the kingdom, that needle. That needle did what? It's about service. He serves everybody without telling them, because he loved everybody. They call it the needle story, and that was for him the key to the kingdom. It wasn't the Bible, it wasn't the cross, it was the love that came from all the way up to him, and he gave it to everybody else. Next. We all remember that great story
of the Samaritan woman.
Loving people is about finding a common ground. If we disagree on something, we have some differences, we have, or the person who is on the side of loving more, we have to find common ground. Something to talk about that we both can get into a discussion. What did Jesus say, or what happened between him and the Samaritan woman that he found a common ground? Did they agree on anything they spoke about? If you remember this whole story. You remember the story? So he went to the well and sat there. She's coming, tried to get some water, said, "Give me some water to drink." And remember, I want to ask you that question. He said that another time in his life on earth. He asked for water, or asked, he said, "I'm thirsty," twice. From this woman and
on the cross.
And you have to think about the difference between both. So he's telling this woman, "Give me something, give me some water." So he made her feel like she's important and she is needed. In the old days, when I was still like in residency, was a very big shot doctor, big guy. Everybody like we respect him, and he was like very powerful. He used to call everybody sir. Even interns like us. We're talking about a guy who's so big. I'm going to him in his office talking one time and said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Him telling me, "Sir," it was very like shocking. Until today, I always call people sir, regardless what they are. Because I felt the impact when he told me, "Sir." It's not giving me dignity, he just showed me that I'm an important person to him. He showed me this by that word. Nothing else happened. Just he said, "Yes, sir," and we just continued talking. So that by itself made a big difference. Respecting people and show them that you need them, regardless of what they are about, is very important. So this woman, apparently, if you know the story between the Jewish people and the Samaritan people, there was a big difference there. Samaritan people displaced. There were about 10 tribes split from 2 in the old days, and the 2 tribes was actually the Leviticus and the priesthood, they split, and the other guys, Samaritan, they worshipped idols, but they still believed in Jacob and the second coming and everything. And then the Jewish people were still moving toward their direction. So between Samaritan and Jewish, there was kind of us and other religion that we're not really convinced that you're doing the same thing. We're different. So he knows that she's different. She knows that he's different. So Jesus first shows her that she's important. He told her, "Give me some water to drink." On the cross, he gave us the last chance. He said, "I am thirsty. I need you." He shows me that he needs me, but I still stabbed him and killed him. This woman, when he said that, he found the common ground here. She said, "Wait a minute. Why are you asking me?" And she took the whole thing and she went through the whole story. "You're Jewish, I'm Samaritan, and you understand we don't get along that much." And he said, "Well," and he said, "We know that Father Jacob came here and drank from this," and they start talk about the second coming. And I said, "We know that the Messiah's coming." So he pushed her to find a common ground to talk. That's the way to love people. If we are different, find the way that I can talk to you about something. So even they're totally different, Jesus found something to talk about by just saying, "I'm thirsty, and give me some water to drink." Then the whole conversation took over, and you know what happened in the end. Here, he was a stranger to her. What's the end result here? He became what? He became a host. Because in the end, she asked him, "Give me from that living water, please." So to her, he was a stranger, a totally outsider. A guy came from nowhere, was Jewish, total clashing between them. And in the end, she said, "I need, give me that living water." He changed himself from an outsider to a host. Okay? And he made her feel respected and needed. That's what we need to do to people. Make them feel like they're not outsiders. They are guests. And from guests, they can be hosts. Phasing in. Next, please. What's my time limit, by the way? 9 o'clock? Okay. Do I have to or do I want to? Remember that. Now we spoke about that. Everybody's so pumped up. Okay, let's love each other. Why? I said, we have to after this. I said, the key to kingdom of heaven, we have to do this. It's going to take me somewhere good. No. It's that you have to. Why? Because Jesus on the cross, what he did, he flooded us with that much love, which is a very serious measure. He gave each one of us. He said, I love you that much. Guess what? I'm going to pour into your heart all that love. Grow it. Do something about it. So love is the only virtue that grows when you give it. If you have money and you give it, less money in my pocket, right? If you have love, it grows. So I love you, you love him, you love her, and it's like growing. And that's the whole thing. So God wants us to love each other and grow the love he flooded me with on the cross. Alright? So, in Hosea it said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Same thing. So people said, listen, I'm going to do all sacrifice. I'm going to do praying, fasting, because that's considered sacrifices, right? That's what we say. Lift my hand as if it's like incense in front of you. But say, no. I want you to be merciful. I want mercy, because sacrifice doesn't work with me. I want you to have, as much as I was merciful with you, you have to be merciful with others. And not only merciful by being asked, by volunteering and willing and deliberate and go to people and help them. In Colossians it said, Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Same thing. Is it about dignity? How easy it is in the traffic when you're driving and you just cut somebody off. The other guy will just keep like, he wants to come next to you to do whatever he has to do with all these signs and whatever they do. What would you do? What happened if he did that unintentionally? What happened if it happened to you? Somebody cut you off. What do you usually do? I think if with this case scenario, you're just like, get tense. But is it any time that you see that stuff? Just pass it. Don't think about it. It's gone. It doesn't help to get angry, even be angry at the other guy. It's not going to take you anywhere. It's only just going to result into evil stuff. If you chase him and he chases you, it's not good. It happens a lot in traffic. Honestly, we learn a lot now. So we drive, okay, the guy, all right, he wants to, you go in the right lane, you want to go, and you just go, and the guy keeps honking the horn and high beaming your hand, lying, and your eyes just like, turn. I'm sorry. What am I going to do? One day I was driving, actually. It was very scary, actually. It was like one of these big left turns. It was four lanes going this way. So it was night, I'm exhausted after work. So basically, I think when I made the left, I just went to the next lane over. I didn't see anything. But there was a traffic light. So I stopped at the light. And suddenly, I see a guy coming, banging on my window. Oh, where's this guy come from? Cursing like you won't believe. So, smart me opened the window. But, of course, I heard a lot of funny stuff, a lot of singing. And he gets us this. Then Orwell said, I said, I'm sorry, I really didn't see you. Which is true, I did not. And he wouldn't stop and he kept banging on. I said, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. I mean, and we're talking about to all stop now, okay? Then finally it went green. I said, guys, it's green now. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what else you want me to do. But he kept kicking the door. But it was scary, but I couldn't believe how, I mean, he took it about. I said, I'm sorry already. Finish it. But I kept saying, I'm sorry. And I think God gave me that courage just to open the window. I keep looking at him. The guy thought I'm an idiot. I was looking at him and said, are you for real? I'm sorry. But anyway, I think just taking the peaceful way sometimes resolves a lot of issues. I think other people may have gone into gunfire, like people shoot each other in traffic violations. Now, look at this verse here. 2:4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of the others. Okay? So you're not living alone in the world. Okay? Always care for people around you. Always care. And again, walking, driving, just think about people around you. Always, and when you do this, honestly, it's going to really grow that love in you. Because you care. You just want to make sure that even if a lot of time, like say in a lecture or something, and you can see somebody like start talk like this, and look at this guy, I mean, he's totally now blinded. And I'm talking, but I'm not doing it intentionally, but I just like I'm talking to myself. I'm just talking now, so the guy doesn't want to do anything, like he can punch me, but he doesn't want to do this. But that's what you have to be conscious, everybody. Like when you do this thing, even you're sitting at a table and lean forward, and people this side, make sure you're not blocking them. That's all about caring. This is like 101 in how to love people, but start caring about them. Next. The guy by the Solwan canal there, what happened to him? He was sitting there 38 years, right? Paralyzed, looking for what? Remember what he's looking for?
A chance to
looking for somebody to push him. For somebody, not for God. He was a Jewish guy, so he knew God. But he was looking for somebody to push him in. And who that somebody happened to be? Passing by Jesus, actually, so many people sitting. Jesus somehow saw the need on this guy. He saw that he needs something. Everybody's sick, but he saw in him the 38 years of suffering. Saw him his dependency on human, which is wrong, that you can't depend on human, even yourself. You have to depend on him, rely on him. He's going to take care of you. And then he went out to him, willingly, volunteering. Do you need help? So his answer, yes, I want to go in. But every time the angel is coming, I can't find somebody to push me in. He said, you don't need these things. Get up, walk. He doesn't have to go in. But this is what it is. Jesus is teaching us. Reach out to people that you see that they're in need. Don't waste it. He didn't ask me, why should I? Don't. Reach out, volunteer, go, and say, do you need anything? That's really delivering a good, especially in the church here. If somebody's like a newcomer, we always say that. You don't have to shy up. Just say, how are you? Again, doing these things, of course, the devil is not going to leave you alone. He may get this other guy to say, what do you care? I never ask for help. Okay, thank you. I'm just here if you need me. You can face these things, but nothing like this go without a price to pay because you're serving. When you serve, God says, when you go decide to serve, get ready for all this testing will happen to you. Next. The completion of the commandments. We said the same thing. So St. Paul, he was very, very, in Romans 13, he was very careful about telling people it's all about loving each other. And on this passage here, it's on your slides, you can see it. Say, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Wow, look at this. Shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And that's exactly the key to heaven. Love, because God is love. So if we don't love each other, we're liars. Said, I love you, God. No, you don't. Because you don't love your neighbor. You don't love anybody else. And don't give me excuses. You can come to me and say, hey, St. Paul said, as much as you can do it, just deal with everybody and love everybody, but as according to your capacity. No. It wasn't meant this way. It meant that you have to train. Exactly like, okay, I can carry this chair, but I can't carry two. Why? Because I'm weak. Okay, so lift some weight. Get strong. Carry the both of them. Same thing. If you can't bear me, actually, because it's too much for you, strengthen this. Train yourself. Practice to do it. It's not like to stop here. Say, this is my capacity. I can do more. Yes, you can. Because that's about how we go through life. Put a lot of efforts in doing things. You cannot just stop here and say, that's what the verse said. I can do it according to my capacity. No, God says, stretch it. Okay? When you have a very nice meal, and he says, too delicious, this the wings that you guys eat of the, during the Super Bowl Sunday or the pizza. You can eat up 400 of these. But you never say my stomach hurts. You keep eating it. It's nice. It's a nice game and we're eating. So you could do this. You can do the same thing here too. Train yourself to expand your capacity to accept more people. And this commandment we have from him, that who he loves God must love his brother also. Must. It's a must. It's not a should or should, maybe ought to. It's a must. So if you love God, if you're sincere about what you're saying, remember, you don't just worship him with your lips only. Okay? Not mouth. He wants reality. He wants applied love, not theoretical love. This is the whole thing. First mind, second mind. Next. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about this, right? The prodigal son. Wherefore, receive one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. What did the Father exactly did do here? He received the person, or his neighbor, or his son, who actually upset him. He was the reason behind his agony. When he came to him, he welcomed him back. However, on the other end, somebody else was not happy about it. Who? The older brother, right? He said, I'm with you and I'm doing all of this. I never left you, I never abandoned you, I never took the money away. And when he, my brother who did all of these things to you, came back, you just celebrate? Yeah, because he was lost and came back. Same thing when we see strangers here. It's typical for us here. When we see somebody, oh, this guy don't, I mean, he was just in jail, you know, don't talk to him because people watch you. Are people going to watch you more than God watching you? And this is the feeling we have to really insert in our hearts here. Do we believe that God is there or not? Or just we say it? He is there. He is real. A lot of us think God is a theory. Okay, God is this way, I'm enjoying life this way. Don't tell me anything. And our children are like this all the time. Hey, Dad, come on. You think reading the Bible is going to help? Okay, how about fasting? Fasting is not going to help. Okay, how about doing? Everything is like nothing. But I know I love God. Wait a minute. Do you do anything at least to show your love to him? You have to do this, okay? And you have to receive people. If you don't receive people, you don't love God. Don't fool yourself. And God, again, this is the feeling that exactly like going to the communion. I said, I wish really we feel when we approach the communion that we are really feeling what we are going to have. It's big. Do we feel it or no? And that's the thing we have to acquire, because if you're going to teach students, you have really to feel it, because you can't just talk. We're talking about spiritual stuff. So if you don't feel it and if you don't live in it, it's not going to be delivered. It's not going to go to the people that you teach. So when you go to the communion, you can tell people the same thing. Listen, it's the body and blood of Christ. You have to be respectful. You have to, okay, stand fast and do this. And okay, I'll do this and this because you told me, because I have to. It's not I want to. Do I feel like when I approach this, it's real? Do you have this feeling or not? Ask yourself when you go home. When I go, or I just wanted to make sure that I do exactly what needs to be done. I go like this, open my mouth, get the body, and just cover. And it's nice. It's a good show, right? But do I feel it? Very important. Once you start, actually, I wouldn't say feeling this, keep asking God to make you feel this. Feel the energy, feel that you're approaching a serious thing. Then you go back to all of these things. Because, again, God, since he's invisible in a body, then we don't really value what we're talking about. We can talk about, oh, God's protecting you. Okay, good. But it's not like having a TV or having a friend next to you. It's all like material stuff. You can see them. That's why it's important to start with the communion. Make sure when you approach it, live the days. Think about the Last Supper. Think about the cross. Move on and say, whoa, is this really going to happen now? I'm going to be like sitting with all the disciples on the table and eat the flesh of Jesus Christ? Unless we say all of this is only symbolization, which is of course totally wrong. It's not. A lot of people said, other non-Orthodox say, it's just a symbol of what happened. It's not really transformation or changing this, the bread to flesh. No, it does. Because Jesus said it. He said, if you don't eat from my body or drink my blood, you're not going to abide in me. Okay, so where are we going to get the blood and body from? From what we do on the communion. Next. Now, Christian love defeats all barriers. And we said, actually, God has been poured out into our hearts. That's exactly what he did. So if you have all this Holy Spirit strength and the gifts, as we definitely have it, we're just burying it. Once we got baptized and we got the Maroon and everything, this is already stuck in us. It's here. It's up to me to release it or keep it imprisoned. So he poured that love and all these gifts inside me. So God is not asking for something impossible, by the way, because he said, just open the gates. Just open up because they have it there. So John said, he who does not love does not know God. You can play games with this word. You say, listen, why you tell me I don't love people? I never said I hate people. Wait. Is ill the word love or the word hate or actions? Have you done, look at every day in your life, have you done anything to show care to people, to show people that they're welcome, show people that they need it? Even your own family, when we get upset with our parents or brothers or cousins, have you resolved the issue by finding a common ground, by finding something to talk about? Did you take the high road and say, listen, this is not going to take us anywhere? Because once we go to blame each other, because you're wrong, I'm wrong, you're right, I'm right, and where is that going to take me? Total demolition of that love. So always look for reconciliation. Take the high road. Always take the high road. Believe me, it's the easiest and the most effective way. It doesn't affect your dignity. Because taking the high road basically shows maturity, wisdom, love, and God in your heart. It's not like, I can't do this. I have my own dignity. I have my own pride. I cannot do this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Just try it and see what happens. Next, please. The parable of the Good Samaritan. This is exactly, if you Google the word, love your neighbor, this is what's going to come up. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Very, very strong story that when the lawyer came to Jesus, say, what should they do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Or God. So God gave him the whole story of the Good Samaritan. Basically, there was a sick man who was lying down. Everybody passing him, including a priest and a Levite. The people who know the religion and the law. They just passed him. Saw him, but passed him. For whatever the reason is. Maybe because he was sick, they thought they're going to get infected. Whatever the reason. They said, I'll stay away from this guy. And then they said a Samaritan person passed. Samaritan, like an enemy basically. Because we said, you remember still the story between the Samaritans and the Jewish people? Passes by him and said, wait a minute, what's going on? And just focus on all this highlighted. So God asked him by saying, love your neighbor as yourself, do this and you will live. So first they said, you're very close to the kingdom. Now we're saying, you will live. Right? He didn't say live long on earth. Live means eternal life. If you do this, you're going to do this. Who passed him? The priest, the Levite, passed. Okay? Samaritan showed compassion. That's the other thing. Be welcoming, be compassionate to people. Don't think that you're up here. Actually, if you're up here, just convey what you got. Like the gift. Just share the gifts that you have. All the strength, all the good stuff you have. Very important. So he gave him 2 pence. He took him to a hotel, the Good Samaritan, took this man, took him there. Not only that, he gave the guy more money and said, I want to see when I come again, I will repay. If it costs you more. So God is telling you, don't look for rewards now. If you love me, do all these things. I've been doing this thing for the guy. He's taking advantage of me. He's taking too many advantages. Why should I continue that? Because he said it, I will repay when I come again. Remember this. He will repay me. It's much more precious to get the repay from him. Right? It's an endless tank of gifts and holiness, right? So that's what's happening. This whole parable, actually talking about second coming here. Actually, if you focus on this, it takes you from Genesis to Revelation. If you dissect every word in this, it takes the story of incarnation, it takes you through, because Jesus here actually is like basically the Good Samaritan. He's the one who was looked as a stranger by his own people. Alright? And he's the one who saved this, and his own people passed the needy and just ignored them. So he said, when I come again, I will repay you. If you do more than ask for, don't worry, I will repay you. He told that guy, okay? And he said, he who showed mercy on him, when he asked him, who should be the one that be rewarded the most? Jesus asked the lawyer, who should be? After the Levite passed by, ignored the guy. The priest passed by, ignored the guy. The Good Samaritan helped and did more. And he asked the lawyer now, who you think will be the best guy? I said, who showed mercy? So be merciful. Agreeing, God said, hey, I want mercy, not sacrifices. He wants us to be merciful with each other. Remember, each one of us in this room has a problem of some sort. We all have problems. Whatever the problem is. So we all have problems. So we have to be merciful rather than picking on each other. Like I can't pick on you and say, why are you doing this to me? I have to understand that something is happening in your life because something is happening in my life too. I know that. Everybody has something. So rather than being blaming each other for any reason, I have to be merciful because this person, I'm sure they have something. So maybe mercy from me will help helping them. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. When the guy said, if you want to be really inherit the kingdom of heaven, love your neighbor, do this, be compassionate, and do this all. I think this is the last slide. What's the rewards? We said before, you are not part of the kingdom. It strengthens our relationship with God. And actually, some saints, old fathers said that God will measure your love to him by your love to others. That's a measure. He will measure that. He will say, you know what? I don't care if you tell me you love me. That doesn't count much. I want to see how much you love others. And that's the measure. That's how I'm going to evaluate you for. How much you love others, and this is the measure. Okay? Athanasius said something. He said, you cannot expect to get warmth from the fire unless you get close to it. So the same thing. If you don't get close and to other people and show care and love, you're not going to feel the warmth of that love and the love of God to you. You're not seeing this. You're going to see this. And another person said, actually, it was a writer. He said that, I was looking for God. I couldn't find him. I was looking for myself. I couldn't find it. And when I looked for a friend or a neighbor, and I showed them a lot of love, I found the three. I found God, I found myself, I found my neighbor, through loving my neighbor. And that was a right, that's not even somebody who's like a priest or anything. So loving our neighbor takes us from darkness to light. It takes us from hopeless to hope. It takes us from hello to I want to. Okay? It takes from I have to I want to. I want to help people. It's a pleasure to help people. It's great. It's not because that's a reward up there. No, because I want to do this. It feels good. It feels good when I put a smile on somebody's face. It feels great. You have to feel it. And remember, it has to start with the feeling, the real feeling to God. When you respect everything about him, now you're going to have a flood of love coming through your veins and arteries. Loving others actually differentiate us from others. A lot of people say, Christian people, how come you're so forgiving? Why are you so loving? Are you weak? I'm not weak. Actually, Christianity is a very strong religion. Because strength comes with self-confidence through being a giver. That's big. Remember the word sir. The guy told me sir, and I was nothing. I was like an insect to him. But he called me sir. That makes me, oh my God, it feels great. It's the measure of our sincere worship of God. So God really will measure how sincere we are with Him through our love to others. And love is the mother of all virtue, said that. And mostly self-denial. If you forget your ego, and if you don't think about dignity, you will be a loving person, and I think we should try it. You may be thinking in your brain, I said, this guy is talking all theoretical, it doesn't happen in real life. And we spoke about loving our enemies before. That's a step down. However, the rewards on this is much higher. Love your neighbor, because once you love your neighbor, which is everybody around me, nobody will be an enemy to me. Right? I see everybody with the eyes of God. Everybody, I see the good things on them. That's why I would love them. I think that was the last slide, right? Okay, so I think I spoke too much, so I'm open to questions, and I hope I can answer if you ask. Yes?
I might not remember this, and if I don't, I'll get back to you on it, but there was I believe, that spoke about there are some acts that bring us closer to God's love, and there are other acts that don't bring us closer to God's love, and you're trying to show service to others.
Yes.
Do you remember this? Because I had a question about that, but I don't know.
How did God show us without...
No, he told us, like, there are some things that separate us from His love, even though they may be good acts, and there's other good acts that bring others closer to Him, and there was a difference between those two. So, sorry, I'll look it up then, sir.
I'm trying to connect them. Let me just have some time to think until somebody asks a question so we can rewind the whole thing. Any other question? You gotta ask because I have to remember, I have to answer. If you don't occupy me, I will not be able to answer it.
Maybe the acts that we don't do with love do not profit us.
What we're trying to do is, love is about actions.
But like, there's a verse from First Corinthians chapter, if I give all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, if I have not love, it profits nothing. So even if you
sacrifice, it's just like soundless stuff. Yeah, that's what that what you're talking about. That lel ayat that pulled the lel nah
the sangon yaren. No, it was one of the.
I'll find it, and we'll see. Any other questions? I think that these questions are very easy. I was actually planning to give you essays to write, but I didn't want to do this because actually that means I have to mark them up. So I avoided that. But are we giving the test away now? No,
that's okay. Not.
But anyway, thank you for listening, and if you need anything, let me know.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Enjoy this.